Saoirse is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across London today. This is their story. In Hampstead and Highgate, NHS workforce planning has severed the link between people who want to train as doctors and nurses and the wards that desperately need them. Here is someone who tried to cross that gap.
I grew up in Kilburn, watching my Irish grandmother recover from her stroke. The physiotherapists would come to the house moving her fingers through exercises, explaining which muscles controlled what movements. I became fascinated by how the body worked, how it could heal itself with the right help. After school, I worked as a healthcare assistant while studying for my A-levels as a mature student, then went to King's College London for biomedical sciences. I wanted to understand the science behind what I'd seen in those recovery sessions. By 2022, I was living in a shared house in Kentish Town, volunteering at the local community centre, teaching first aid to elderly residents. I knew I wanted to be a doctor. I'd seen the difference good medical care could make, and I had the academic background to get there. I applied to the Royal Free London NHS Foundation Trust's Graduate Entry Medicine programme. The GAMSAT went well, the interviews went better, I scored in the top percentile on every metric they gave me. When the admissions team called, I expected good news. Your application was excellent, the coordinator told me. Unfortunately, we can only offer 15 places this year instead of our usual 25. Health Education England has cut our training budget allocation. I accepted this. It sounded reasonable. Budgets get cut, resources are finite. I was disappointed, but not suspicious. I tried again in 2023, this time with UCL Medical School. Again, strong GAMSAT scores, solid interviews. The deputy dean called me personally. We're impressed with your performance, she said. The problem is Treasury spending limits. We've lost £2.3 million in training funding and we simply cannot expand places. We have 400 qualified applicants for 30 spots. There is no funding. The phrase was becoming familiar. I started looking at nursing programmes as an alternative route into healthcare. North Central London Training Hub had a good reputation. I submitted my application for their September 2023 intake, confident that nursing would be less competitive than medicine. The response came back within a week. We've frozen recruitment for the September intake due to NHS England budget constraints, the programme director explained over the phone. The budget has been cut. We cannot afford to run that programme. Three rejections, three different institutions. The same explanation every time, no money. I was walking past the Royal Free's Medical Education Centre one evening, frustrated and wondering what to do next, when something caught my eye. The building was almost entirely dark, floor after floor of empty windows. I could see into the lecture theatres from the street, rows of seats, projection screens, all unused. The simulation labs that should have been training the next cohort of doctors sat idle. I started asking questions. If there was no money for training places, why were the training facilities empty? If the problem was budget cuts, why wasn't every available space being used to train people? What I discovered didn't make sense with what I'd been told. Barts in the London School of Medicine and Dentistry had actually returned unused training places to Health Education England the previous year. They couldn't fill them despite the supposed shortage of places. Not because there weren't qualified candidates, the waiting lists proved otherwise, but because the funding model made it impossible to match people to places. I started to see the contradiction everywhere. The same street where I lived had three other people trying to get into healthcare training. Sarah downstairs had applied for physiotherapy. Marcus next door wanted to be a mental health nurse. All of us qualified, all of us rejected, all of us told the same thing. There is no funding. But the buildings existed, the equipment existed, the lectures existed, many of them on reduced hours because there weren't enough students to teach. The need for healthcare workers was obvious to anyone who'd spent time in a London hospital. The only thing missing was the decision to connect these elements. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. Health Education England, NHS England, HM Treasury, they all spoke as though pounds were a finite resource that had run out. But the real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were, all of them. I could see them with my own eyes. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The government issues the currency. When Treasury sets spending limits on medical training, that's not them discovering an empty vault. That's them choosing not to create the pounds that would put qualified candidates into empty lecture theatres. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. Every empty simulation lab, every returned training place, every qualified applicant told they'd have to wait another year. These weren't the inevitable result of scarcity. They were the predictable result of treating government spending like a household budget. I'm still here, still watching, still applying. What I understand now that I didn't at the start is that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never the constraint. The constraint was the decision not to open it.
What Saoirse experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of tobacco companies in the 1950s citing scientists who claimed smoking was safe. They weren't lying about the scientists existing. They were selecting the minority who supported their preferred conclusion while ignoring overwhelming evidence to the contrary. The fake experts weren't necessarily fake people. They were real people giving fake expertise. Every time Saoirse was told there is no funding, she was hearing from institutional voices that treated Treasury budget limits as natural laws rather than political choices. Health, education, England, NHS England, university admissions teams, they all spoke with the authority of expertise about fiscal constraints that don't actually constrain a currency issuer. The austerity objection here is typical. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources. People, skills, materials, time. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Hampstead and Highgate ranks 362 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in the seventh decile. The constituency has 1,518 registered charities and received £54.7 million in total grants according to available data. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.